Hello and welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Kay Momquist and Chip Haley. Sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Another edition of Meet the People of MCB. We're just so tickled to have you alongside today. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Kay Momquist.
Kay, we've got a husband and wife duo that we're going to interview today.
Yeah, we sure do. And you guys are going to find this very interesting because, just stand by and watch and see what happens.
Well, you know, as the four of us were talking before we started the recording, I said, let's just have some fun with this day. So we may be picking at each other and bantering each other. So this is going to be fun. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct pleasure to bring on and introduce our couple that we're going to be interviewing today, Robert and Kim Vaughn. So welcome, Robert, and welcome, Kim.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. So as we mentioned, what we like to start off first, and it doesn't matter to me. Well, I tell you what, ladies first. So we're going to start with you, Kim. Why don't you share with us about your vision loss?
Well, it kind of happened like this. I was actually supposed to be born at the end of March, and I came at beginning of March. That normally isn't a problem, but a couple months after I came into the world, I had to have my first shunt. And for people that don't know what a shunt is, it keeps the excess water off the brain. But at that time, I could still see and I could still hear. But then at a year old, I developed meningitis, and that caused me to lose vision in one eye, and I also lost the hearing in my left ear. And then I was okay until 2 years old, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, another medical crisis came along, and I developed it happened. The meningitis happened at a year old, and then at 2 years old, the shunt went haywire, and that's when I lost the vision in the other eye. So the meningitis took the hearing and the sight in one eye at a year old, and the vision in the other eye at two. And then, several years later, I started noticing that I wasn't hearing as well as I did in my right ear. And so at that time, I was fighting getting a hearing aid in my right ear. I tried a hearing aid at 24, but age 24, but I thought everything was way too loud. But by age 30 or 31, I couldn't fight it any longer, and I had to have a hearing aid. And going back to my shunts, every once in a while I have to have a revision. So the one I had at age 2, I had until I was like 13, because, you know, by then I was growing. So then I had to have the whole thing replaced. And then at 18, I had the shunt replaced, but we found out I might not have had to, but at that time I had a stroke. And then I had another shunt revision at 27, and my last one was age 37, and I've had that one ever since. And the average is like every 10 years.
Okay. Yep. Well, thank you, Kim. I appreciate that. Robert, how about you? Tell us about your vision loss.
Well, mine is short and sweet. I was born with optic atrophy, which is damage of the optic nerve. My eyes are in excellent shape, but it's the wiring to the from the eye to the brain. The optic nerve is a bundle of thousands of nerves, and they say the whole optic nerve itself is not much bigger than a human hair. And so that got damaged or not fully developed. They're not sure which. And with medical technology now, they don't know how to transplant a nerve. Once you sever a nerve, it's gone. So I guess the good side of this is the vision I do have, I've always had. So, and of course, with the optic nerve being damaged, you know, that connects from the eye to the brain. So some would surmise that, you know, maybe that's mentally why I'm the way I am too, you know.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to say that wasn't the only thing that atrophied. But
yeah,
see?
I had to get that in there before you did. That's right.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's, I'm going to pass it over to Kay here in just a second, but let's just stay with Robert for a moment. Robert, you and I have kind of known each other. I've known you a lot longer than I've known Kim. A time when you were living in Carthage, I was working at the Independent Living Center. You had came over. Gosh, this was back way back, like in, I don't know, around 2000. Yeah. So you and I've kind of known each other for quite a while. So, why don't you share with us a little bit about whatever work history you might have had?
Well, I worked at a factory in Tulsa. The time was called Oklahoma League for the Blind, which was a satellite facility of the main plant in Oklahoma City, which is now called Newview, which the Tulsa satellite workshop no longer exists. Which was managed by Adal Lamar. Some people may know of him. When that closed down, Dell had the bright idea to start a thrift store in Oklahoma for the blind. Trying to remember what the name of it was now. Oh, Green Country Enterprises for the Blind. And we actually got some funding from the Lions Club and started this. And so I did a lot of volunteer calling, trying to solicit donations, and that lasted a few years. I'm kind of fuzzy on the dates. I've slept a few nights since all this happened. Then once that ultimately failed, I started my own business called Canes and Things LLC in Oklahoma, selling products for the blind. The thought was, or theory was, to have a local vendor so that walk-ins and even the local rehab agencies throughout the state would have a place to buy products. And from there, that led to finally getting into computers, which I fought, because I thought computers were for those nerdy people. And at the time, I didn't think that was me. Of course, I get ribbed to this day since I'm quite a technology addict. But that opened the door to computers. And then I had a contract with the state of Oklahoma providing computer training to clients. And in 2000, moved to Missouri. As Chip said earlier, lived in Carthage from 2000 to 2005, migrated to St. Louis, worked for the Lighthouse for about a year and a half. Kim and I were married, and then since then I've been involved with MCB, and also I'm a technology trainer for the MOTAP and ICANN Connect programs in Missouri.
Okay, very good. Well, let me ask you something, Kim, and then I'm going to give it to Kay. So being visually impaired, Kim, you still wanted to marry Robert, not being able to see?
Yeah, she just kind of stole my heart.
Okay, Kay, you got questions?
Sure. I'll start out with Kim. Kim, do you want to talk about your work history or what you've done over the years and what sort of things you've gotten into? You got kind of an interesting history because you're not originally from this area. You're from up in Michigan. So I think a lot of that stuff starts up there. So tell us about
it. I actually was born in Detroit. And when I was four, my parents moved to Harper Ridge, which is a suburb. And then when I was in my 20s, I got my own apartment in East Point until I moved here. But I have a very short work history, and I hope to change that. But I did work at Burger King. I would do some food prep and do dishes. And then, you know, once the dishes were done, I would have to put paper liners on the trays, you know, after they were washed, and then they would offer a toy of the week. And so rather than somebody, you know, trying to find the toy and the bag at the same time, you know, when customers are trying to go through, I would just bundle up a whole bunch of them in a box. And then, you know, when a customer came and they had a child or whatever, they could give them one. And then that lasted maybe 3.5 years. And then I went back to the rehab center in Michigan because I really wanted something a little more challenging. And so I checked into massage therapy, and I actually did a course on that. And it was hard. I couldn't really find a job in that. So I just kind of gave up on that. And I would give massages on the side to people I knew, but, you know, that was about the extent of it. And that's kind of the work history I've had so far.
That's cool.
Short, but maybe not sweet, but it's short.
So, yeah, well, you know, you talked about the fact that you couldn't see, and you know, you lost your vision. And you also lost your hearing. So that's a double whammy. And that makes things a bit difficult trying to get decent hearing aids. I think there's a few of us on this particular session today that can relate to that. So you're from Michigan originally. Do you still have, obviously no family lives around here, but how much of your family or who's left in your family?
Oh, I know. I talk to like most of my family, and I have a really close friend. We've been best friends since we started school together. I was 3 and she was 6 years old, and she comes to visit. She tries to come like every year when it works out. And she is a person I've known practically all my life, and she's really cool.
Yeah. And then you have family up in Michigan as well.
Yeah, I have my mom and my sister, and then 2 nephews, and then several aunts and uncles, and I even have an aunt in the UP, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where they invented snow, I think.
Oh boy, I tell you what, yeah. And not only that, they talk very strangely too. Believe me, I have relatives up there too. And if anybody knows who the Youpers are, that is not put on.
Anyway, and I've actually, I'm sorry, Kate, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say I've actually been in Lake Superior, which is the biggest, greatest lake, Great Lake. And then I've also been in Lake Michigan, and I think Lake Huron was the other one.
Cool. Lake Superior, I think, is the coldest lake, and that is cold.
It's huge, and the waves are like huge. I mean, it almost reminds me of like when you're near the ocean, because I mean those waves like pound.
Yeah, they sure do. Okay, so now to Robert. Robert, I met you when you lived in Tulsa. I had a farm outside of halfway between Tulsa and Stillwater, and I ran across him because he mentioned Dale Lamar. He actually introduced us. He said, "I hope you forgive me." So that Robert and I met because I was looking for somebody that was into computers, and he was a little bit ahead of me. And it was funny because for a long time we used to swap ideas and things back and forth, and that's how we met. And they would come out to the farm sometimes, we'd come out to their house, and so on and so forth. So Robert, tell me about your family and you, how many kids you have and things like that. And then of course your immediate family.
Yeah, it was funny when Kay called Dale to, she wanted to find someone to teach her computers. He sicked her on me. And of course at that time I barely knew what I was doing too. So yeah, we kind of helped each other limp through that. Anyway, I have a large family through half and step brothers and sisters, and a couple of adopted. When all of us kids grew up, I thought my parents would be tired of children, and they decided to be foster parents and ended up actually adopting a couple of them. So there's about 15 of us all together.
Wow.
Brothers, wow. Sisters. So we range from the early 30s to age 65 is the oldest sibling. And then the immediate family, I have two daughters, Monica and Heather, and three grandchildren. Monica has a boy and a girl, Logan and Lily, and Heather has a little girl named Willow.
Cool. Okay. So you started out in Tulsa, and then you moved to Carthage. Well, tell us about the whole progression, and kind of in there, how did you become involved with MCB? But go ahead and just, tell us the story about how you ended up here, I guess.
My first wife actually had a sister in Carthage, and at the time in 2000, we decided to move there so she could be closer to her sister. And then as life changes, my ex and I went our separate ways, and that's when I moved to St. Louis in 05. And at that point, I actually stayed with the only person I knew in St. Louis. I had actually considered moving to Kansas City or St. Louis. And at the time, I didn't know anybody in Kansas City. But I knew Penny Pear here in St. Louis. I knew Penny back when she was doing her post-grad stint at Lions World down in Arkansas. So I got a hold of them and ended up staying with them and met Mark. And he told me about MCB and UWB and kind of what was going on. So that was my introduction through Mark Pear into UWB. And then it just snowballed from there.
Okay. Chip, do you have any questions?
Yeah. First of all, for Robert, you mentioned your time in working with Kay when you were in Tulsa. And so you have my sympathies there.
Thank you. I'm glad somebody understands. Thank you.
Okay. So, and Robert, you've held various positions within MCB and UWB. Why don't you share us a little bit about the positions that you've held and the time that you've done that and your thoughts about that.
I started out, I was president of UWB for two terms. And it was fun.
Was it really that long? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I think,
I'm surprised the organization survived, but okay. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, me too. Me too. That's right. And if they can handle me, they can handle anybody, I guess. But yeah, we made it through 4 years of that. And that was good. And then I was treasurer for MCB for two terms, a total of 4 years, because nobody at the time wanted it. I mean, you talk about an easy vote in. They just said, anybody else want to run? And no takers. So Denny at the time was like, well, I guess you got it. So, but that was enjoyable as well. one of the nice things I think that the people, and I know the office staff appreciate, was me being so close to the MCB office about a mile away. When it came time to sign those checks, which everybody wants to get those turned around as quick as possible, you know, I could just hop down the street and take care of that. So where previous treasurers, I think it was William in Kansas City, you know, mm-hmm. they had to courier everything back and forth. And, you know, so it was nice for everybody having someone so close. But that was enjoyable as well.
Okay. And you were, of course, right now you're the current building committee chair, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. How's that working for you?
So far, so good. As long as we can keep rabble like Kay out, we're doing okay. But had to do another stab there. Sorry, Kay. No, it's great. We're getting, as I'm sure most people know, we're getting a vending machine, a soda machine in there now. So that'll even be a nice addition.
Yeah. And you were one time, weren't you also president of ATI?
Yes, I was. I forgot about that. We had a lot of fun with that too. I love the convention and giving away the prizes, and that's a fun organization.
Yeah, yeah. How about you, Kim? I know that you are the current chair of the Dual Sensory Committee. And you've got some really big plans that you'd like to see happen with that. So share with us, you know, your committee and how much you enjoy doing that.
Oh, I do. Well, Chip is on my committee, and then Stephanie Burkett is also on my committee, and I am, you know, we're trying to work on things, and I really want the dual sensory laws to thrive. So I know it's taken me a little while, but I just want to do things right. And so that's why it's taken me a little while, but we should have something as soon as we're able to get a few things together.
Yeah, very good. So Kim, you and Robert both now have been a part of the organization for a number of years. Reflect upon any of our services and programs that maybe stand out in your mind that stands out maybe more than one or two of the others. Is there any one or two programs that you thoroughly enjoy, something that has just grabbed a hold of your heart? Share with us any of our service and programs that's meant so much to you.
I really like the adaptive technology, and I was on the adaptive technology, you know, to approve the grants for, I can't remember if I was on there for 4 years or 2 years. And I also am now the secretary of the Sight and Sound Impaired group in St. Louis. Like Robert, when he ran unopposed, well, I was unopposed for the secretary. So it keeps me hopping, because there's a lot for me to do. But I think that's good, because I like a challenge. And so I'm trying to do my best with that.
Okay, good. How about you, Robert? Is there any of our services and programs that stands out to you that you've maybe enjoyed more than some of the others?
Tim reminded me as well. I was also chair of that Adaptive Technology Committee for a brief time as well. And that's one of my favorites. We all love technology, and the fact that MCB helps the blind afford some of this technology, that's a great program. ATI is great, and the summer camp is a very fun time as well. Those are my favorites.
Okay. Kay, I'll pass it over to you.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say, if you didn't mention it, because I remember going to summer camp with you guys a couple of different times, and we had a pretty good time, you know. It's just kind of neat whether you're sitting around talking with people or out on the river or swimming or whatever, you know. I mean, it's a fun time to get away and not have to deal with everyday life and so on and so forth. It just gives you a chance to reset and regroup. But anyway, so I do remember some fun stuff. We went and walked and got down by the river, followed the road, and it's like, wow, there's kind of a drop off over here. But so yeah, you're right. That was fun. That's a lot of fun. So my question to you, Kim, is how did you meet Robert? And then, I mean, it's funny because I remember Dave, my husband or whatever before Terry, he was your best man at your wedding and stuff. So I guess my question is how did you and Robert meet? And then did you, you know, where did you move in to St. Louis after you got married, or how did all that work?
Well, one day I was talking to a mutual friend of ours named Lucy, and I'm sure everybody on this telephone remembers good old dial-up, and they swore at that time that my number was, that the area code was not going to change, and they lied. So the person tried to set it up ahead of time so that when the change was going to occur, that everything would run smoothly. Yeah, that's famous last words. So I got up and, you know, did a few things. Then I went to turn on my computer, and I was promptly, rudely found out that I could not. So I called my friend Lucy, and I don't know how long we were on the phone, but she kind of got frustrated, and I didn't blame her because I couldn't figure out what to do. So she said, I'm going to call Robert. Okay, who's Robert? So Robert gets on the phone. Do you know he had me do the exact same things that my friend Lucy just had me do? It's like, okay, wait a minute. So, but the thing, I don't know, they must have had a glitch somewhere, because it did not even work until like 8 or 8:30 that evening. And then so I went on with my life for a few days, and then I don't know, either I called Lucy back, or, you know, because we talked quite a bit, or but whatever the case, one of us called the other, and we're talking, and she says, well, Robert wants to know, can he have your phone number? Yeah, I guess. So then Robert just started calling me, and I don't know if I should say this. If you want to cut this out, you can, or you can leave it. But one day, see, Robert forgot to let me know that he was married, because one day he said, well, I got to go get my wife up. And let me tell you, it felt like somebody punched me in the stomach. But it's like, okay, your wife. So, I mean, but, you know, I just, you know, forgot about that. And, you know, we just became good friends. And I actually went to visit Robert and his first wife and their daughter, Monica, because Heather wasn't there. She was in the Army Reserves, I believe.
Yeah, cool. So then just over time or whatever, you ended up getting married. Robert already said, you know, that by the time he moved to St. Louis, that, you know, he was divorced. So that's cool. You know, and that's how stuff happens sometimes. You know, you meet people. I can't tell you how many times I've heard about people that have, oh, they had really high school sweethearts and stuff like that, and they ended up marrying other people, and then later on in life they end up reconnecting, and it's just, it's kind of cool how that all works. So anyway, you guys were back in St. Louis. And when you moved to St. Louis, did you get involved with MCB with Robert at the same time? Or did he just kind of bring you in, or how did that all work?
Yeah, I started going to the UWB meetings. And at one time I was also, I don't remember the exact term, but a member at large for UWB, but and I I just started going to the meetings because technically Michigan had an ACB affiliate, but the problem was they just did card bingo a lot. I mean, they didn't really have meetings. So it's like, okay, I mean, but it was a fun outing, but I just really didn't get involved in ACB. I did go to one of the conventions with Robert in, I believe it was 2005, and you were also there too, Kay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that was neat. I've been to a lot of conventions, ACB conventions. And looking forward to this next one coming up. But, well, okay, so that's, then you guys have lived in Tulsa for how many years now? It's been a while.
You mean St. Louis?
Yeah. What did I say? Tulsa? Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been
still
in St. Louis.
I'm still in. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Take me back to Tulsa. I get it. Yeah. we got married in 2007, and like you said earlier, your previous husband Dave was our best man, and the day after we got married was my wife, first wife, and I divorced in May of 05, and then we married in September of 07. And the day after our wedding, your better half at the time, we packed up Kim's stuff and loaded it up in a truck and a trailer, and our honeymoon was spent moving Kim with all of her things to St. Louis. So,
yep. Yep.
Been here 15 years now. Yeah.
That's hard to believe when you think about that. 15 years, man.
I know. Chip. Time flies.
Yes, it does. And I was not living here. In fact, I moved down in 2013, and I stayed at Robert and Kim's house for about 6 months looking for a place to rent, which I found. And, well, the rest is history. So, Chip, do you have any questions?
Yeah. So Robert and Kim, both of you, both visually impaired. I'm sure there's been challenges. I know, Robert, you're pretty independent guy. You're very educated on a number of different technology devices. But share with us, you know, any challenges that you guys have faced as husband and wife. Been visually impaired. So I'll tell you what, we'll start with you, Robert.
I think the biggest challenge, which is better now, but still not as good as I would like it to be, would be transportation. To me, that is the number one thing that I would like to see improved statewide. Uber and Lyft helped a lot, and I hope transportation will grow, especially in smaller towns and rural areas.
Okay. How about you, Kim? What kind of challenges have you faced as a couple?
Well, not only with being blind and hearing impaired, but in 2018, I had some issues with my spine, and I totally lost all feeling. I couldn't do a thing, and I needed to be in a facility for like 10 months because I just couldn't do anything by myself. I literally had to learn how to do everything all over again.
Okay. Kay, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn it back to you and let you ask your famous question.
Okay, maybe we'll pick on Kim first. So, Kim, here's my question that I ask everybody. Is there anything about Kim that people that are maybe close to you might know, but people that just know you casually or whatever don't know? It could be a hobby, it could be something you've done, somewhere you've gone, or anything else. But something that people don't know that they might find interesting, of interest.
Well, probably people know about both of these things, but I really like to bake, and I am also a Scentsy consultant. So, I mean, those are two things that come to my mind. But as far as anything else, oh, and I'm an avid Detroit Red Wings fan. Not that I don't support the Blues, but I still, you know, like the Detroit Red Wings. And as a matter of fact, the announcer for the Detroit Red Wings, Ken Cal, is a friend of ours, and he actually came to our wedding.
Wow, that's there you great. Go. Yeah, yeah.
Yep, yep. Okay.
And I literally, almost every game, I have a chance to keep in touch with him because he's on Twitter. And so we will exchange messages. And when I was in the facility recovering from my spinal surgery, he sent me a really nice Easter basket full of stuff.
That's nice. Cool. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, very cool. All right, Robert, the same thing for you. Is there anything about... Now, remember, this is a family show. You can't... So anyway, how about it, Robert?
Well, I was almost going to say when the 2005 ACB convention came up and Kim said you were there, I was almost going to say, well, I could tell you stories, but we'll save that for another time. Anyway, I'll let you skate this time. I enjoy doing woodworking, home improvement. Used to do a lot of biking. We actually have a 1964 Schwinn bicycle built for two that I'd love to find someone to help me put some more miles on it. Been sitting in the basement every time I think about getting rid of it. Our daughters are begging me to keep it, so it's still down there, and maybe one day I'll get out on it again.
Okay.
And of course, I play guitar. I think a lot of people know that as well.
Yeah, I'm sure of that. So that, but that's cool. It's always nice to have a hobby when you can just get away and do what you want to do and lose yourself in whatever that is.
Oh yeah,
for sure. All right, Chip, I'm going to turn it back over to you because I know you've got a question you want to ask. And
okay, Robert, you mentioned about your Schwinn double bicycle, two-seater bicycle. Linda and I also had a two-seater, and she always complained for some reason that I never pedaled. she'd look down and make sure I was pedaling, but I was pedaling. But anyway, and I want to ask both of you, and by the way, Kim, I was reminded when you mentioned about Twitter, are you still doing the MCB Twitter site for us?
I have to check and see if I can get on there because there's been some issues, but I need to check into that, and I can do that like later today and see if anything of value's up there anymore. I can check it out.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, so my last question to both of you is, we'll start with you, Kim, and that is, give us some words of encouragement, wisdom that, you know, folks that are listening, you know, especially you, Kim, with a dual sensory disability, what kind of words of encouragement or words of wisdom do you have to share with people that may be listening?
Well, I would say don't give up. I mean, I know that it can be difficult, but, you know, just keep on, you know, trying and doing your best, and that things will get easier. It may not seem like it, but it may take a while, but I am living proof that it has been difficult at times, but I just keep prevailing, and hopefully, you know, if you need to talk to someone, then, you know, that's what I would also do. Talk to people that are in similar situations.
Okay, very good. How about you, Robert?
I would just tell anyone who is losing vision or hearing loss as well, reach out to MCB. That's a good way to actually get to know people. That was when Mark Perry introduced me to MCB, that was a real opening to get to know the blind of Missouri. But if you're losing one of your senses like that, reach out. The blind and deaf blind of Missouri are great folks. And, you know, we all share resources. So there's a lot of help out there if you just reach out.
Thank you, Robert. And thank you, Kim, for being our special guest today here on Meet the People of MCB. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you betcha. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Kay and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, you can have them call me, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or me, Kay Malmquist, and my phone number is 608-436-2610.
You never know, ladies and gentlemen. You might hear yourself next time right here on Meet the People of MCB. Until next time, enjoy your week, everybody. We'll see you right back here next time. Thanks and God bless. Bye-bye.